The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Folks on the Republican side, your Republican colleagues say that they are very scared to walk outside in D.C., that they think this is completely the right thing to do. Senator, are you scared walking around Washington, D.C. these days?
I walk around all the time. I wake up early in the morning sometimes and take a nice walk as the sun is rising around some of the Capitol and the other monuments and things. And I feel perfectly safe. They're full of it.
The militarization of our cities and our domestic law enforcement violates the Posse Comitatus law and violates everything that we believe in Americans. Are Republican members of Congress going not only to roll over to Donald Trump's will, but to roll over our democracy and allow him to take over this country as a fascist dictator?
About 400 National Guard troops have now reported for duty in Washington, D.C. Big change on the ground there. It is expected to double by week's end to 800.
We're going to change the laws. We're going to lower the age of criminal responsibility. We've seen too much of it. We've seen homicides against young people. We've seen assaults in areas where just a couple days ago, a kid gets a fractured nose and gets a severe concussion by 12 and 13-year-olds trying to steal a car. Why? Because they've been allowed to do it. Not anymore.
You see, these things don't happen in states like Florida. You know why? Because if you carjack me, I'm liable to shoot you, no matter what your age is. And that happens in red states. But when you take the Second Amendment away from so many citizens in these liberal cities, they can't protect themselves. And so now these kids that don't have a fear of God, they're emboldened by the culture, by the music that they listen to, by the movies that they watch, by the culture that they take into their spirit, right? None of these kids go to church on Sunday morning. These kids don't have a fear of God. These kids don't think about heaven and hell. And that's the problem in our nation. We've let these liberals go so deep into removing God from schools. Now these kids don't have spirituality. We got to put the Ten Commandments back in our schools. We got to get the fear of God back into the children of America.
And the murder rate, you can't keep saying violent crime is down, but the murder rate's up. To the average person, the murder rate's about life and death. You don't brag about a rising murder rate. And the Democrats are, I agree with you, Mika, they're falling into the trap of defending what's indefensible.
It's a trap. It's not a winner politically to say, oh, you're wrong, look at the data. Because, you know, if one violent crime happens in a very heavily populated part of the city, people hear about it and it's visceral. They don't want it. And they'll gravitate to the person who appears to be doing something about it.
And I don't have a problem tactically with what Donald Trump is doing here. He doesn't have to be the most dangerous place on earth. Something can be improving, but still really bad. If your house is on fire and then a third of the fire goes out, it's less bad, but it could still be an emergency. I work in D.C. It is dangerous there. You cannot deny that. And a common police tactic is to surge resources.
Eat much of what they took. Instead, they just trashed the place, as this video obtained by our news partner WTOP shows. We asked the couple what they think of President Trump's plan to federalize city police and deploy more officers and the National Guard.
I'm telling Trump, just send the boys to Ben Arrow because this is crazy. And then you see Dollar Tree closing, but CVS closed down, 7-Eleven closed down. We trying to put a store in your community, then you do this.
This is the CVS she mentioned that closed. At the next closest one on H Street, you can't even so much as buy a $2 bottle of soap without asking an employee to unlock the display case.
And the city keeps saying crime is down, but do you feel safe?
No, I don't think so. Crime is down. Crime is off.
In D.C.? Who told that lie?
Yeah, okay. I think this sort of gives the game away here because Donald Trump is like Air Jordan towering over Joe Biden when it comes to their handling of crime. Look, in 2024, look at where Biden's net approval was on crime. Way underwater there at minus 26 points. It was one of Biden's worst issues. Granted, pretty much every issue was one of Biden's worst issues. And again, look at where Donald Trump is. way, way, way above Joe Biden. What is that? That's 27 points. So Americans vastly prefer Donald Trump's approach to crime than they did to Joe Biden's. And again, I think it gets back to the point that Americans are far more hawkish on crime than a lot of Democrats want to admit.
The Democrats are afraid to do anything because they don't want to be criticized. But fighting crime is a good thing. We have to explain. We're going to fight crime. That's a good thing. Already they're saying he's a dictator. The place is going to hell, and we've got to stop it. So instead of saying he's a dictator, they should say we're going to join him and make Washington safe. But they say he's a dictator. And then they end up getting mugged, and, you know, but the stats are very bad. But
more on the nation's capital. We covered a lot of this on Tuesday's show, and we're coming back to it here for the start of today's. I agree with Mika. Can't believe I just said that. But how do you defend, you know, wide open borders for the criminals? In this case, just let him roam all over D.C., rob stores, carjack, murder. And here comes Trump with some common sense policies. And as you saw there, I mean, he doesn't have the support of Dan Goldman, but he's got the support of local residents there in D.C. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. If you'd like to email the program with some feedback, the address td@thetrumpet.com. We'd love to hear from you and perhaps read your feedback on the air. The guy in the middle, Jack Brewer was his name. I think even though you can certainly take one angle of this, you know, applauding Donald Trump. We touched on Amos 7 the other day and how that you're really seeing him exercise king-like powers. I mean, you can see why some of the Democrats are freaking out. He's using authority. He's using his position of leadership. He's bringing in the National Guard. He's restoring safety and peace to the streets of D.C. But then you step back and look at the bigger picture. I mean, what an ugly picture this paints of our cities. You can't even go to CVS without asking for an attendant to give you some shampoo. It's unbelievable. It's like I said the other day, Genesis 6 lays it all out there. Genesis 6 talks about the time before the flood and just how violent it was. And how did God respond to this? Well, he told Noah to build an ark because he was going to destroy the civilization as Noah knew it. That's the way God feels about this. And we've said before that this work, God's church, it's a Noah-like work. What does that tell you? Well, read Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, and see what's coming. See what we've done to ourselves. You can see it breaking out on the streets of D.C. And soon it's going to be nation going against nation. That's what Jesus prophesied, great tribulation. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, look, there's a lot of false religion in the world today, but as Jack Brewer brought out there, I mean, there's just no fear of God. Nobody's going to church. Nobody's looking to the Bible. We're removing the Ten Commandments from off the wall instead of putting them up. No fear. I mean, that's what you see when you read Isaiah 3, which prophesies of our time today. Children ruling over, children oppressing us. That's what it amounts to. A lot of these, like Janine said there, a lot of these are 13-year-olds carrying out vicious crimes. What has happened to our family? I spent some time on this in Principles of Living this morning. How unusual it is for these young people, our young people, to be at a college, a school, where we talk about how to live. Where we talk about building a traditional family based on the roles outlined in Scripture. Where we reinforce the Ten Commandments. Think about if everybody on earth or in this nation was receiving that kind of instruction on a daily basis. Now, still, we're free moral agents, and you could still reject it even if you're receiving the truth. But as that guy noted on Fox News, I mean, we're not even receiving the truth. Well, religion has its part of the blame. The modernist religious movement, which is basically just given in to worldliness. It's just invited worldliness into the church, the churches. It doesn't uphold God's law. It doesn't build family. It doesn't really think family matters. Just live whatever way you want to live. Jesus did everything for you. But just give your heart to the Lord. How shallow is that religion? The whole Bible talks about how to live the right way. If you live the way of obedience, well, then you'll be blessed. If you're disobedient, if you're wicked, well, then you're going to be cursed. And that's what we're seeing, curses. You've got to lock down toiletries at the drugstore now because there's so much theft. There's so much shoplifting. There's so much looting and violence. Even right down the street from the White House, the nation's capital. Verse 11 of Genesis 6, I read this Tuesday, it's worth repeating. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So much corruption, so much perversity. So much fascination with evil. Read the end of Romans 1. The students heard about that in the forum this morning. Read where our society is. You can see a pretty long list, a description in Romans 1, in Galatians 6, or 5, I guess it is, 1 Corinthians 6. See what God thinks about our fascination with every possible perversion imaginable. We had an article back in 2007, Hollywood's growing fascination with darkness. This article is old now. I mean, this is almost 20 years old. Fascination with darkness. What emanates from the big screen these days is a cornucopia of gloominess, mayhem, evil, deep internal struggles and gore. Hollywood enjoys taking us into the twisted minds of its characters. We've got to analyze the mind of a serial killer, for example. Yeah, we've got to get right in there. And if we do a good enough job with it on the big screen, we might get an award. We might even win a trophy, because that's the way it typically goes. The more corrupt, the more evil that it is, the more award-worthy it will be. That's the way that Hollywood operates. And it's not like it's just Hollywood. That's the problem here. Original horror films dominate the 2025 box office, with Sinners leading the way. Don't go and watch that trailer. Sinners? A horror flick. And it's wildly popular. It says horror films are thriving at the 2025 box office, with Sinners, Weapons, Together, and Bring Her Back achieving both critical acclaim and strong ticket sales. Selling lots of tickets, and it's critically acclaimed. Industry analysts say the success of these films shows that original horror remains a strong draw for audiences. Even in a market crowded with franchise releases. Another one here from the Hilltop, a look into the rise of horror films in 2025. So, is it going to get better on the streets of America? Now, it's not like people just watch a movie and then go out and commit an act of violence, but look, we're celebrating it. We're awarding it. We're raving about it. On the big screen, we love it. We love the fascination with evil. According to Statistica, horror accounted for about 10% of box office revenues in 2024, doubling its share in the span of a decade. The film industry may experience a larger increase following the release of several horror films this year. Yeah, and with the technology, I mean, it's just getting more and more demonic, and that shouldn't be surprising because Revelation 12, 9 and 12 say that Satan and his demons have been cast down. They've been confined to this earth for almost 40 years. I was telling the students this morning, I'm old enough to remember what it was like in 1985, 1986, at high school, public school. I mean, it wasn't great. And there were certainly sins in that time as well. Human nature was alive and well back then. But what a different time. The things we celebrate today, the things you see on the big screen. Well, we shouldn't even see them. Because it's so demonic. And they can make it look so real today with the technology. And it's wildly popular. We haven't even gotten to television, our article says, in 2007. I mean, it just basically scratched the surface. Darkness is making good money. Some say it's a healthy outlet for our own darkness within. This is the trumpet, 18 years ago. But the Bible tells us not to allow our minds to dwell on darkness and evil. It says, in fact, to think on whatever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report. Imagine Hollywood making a movie with content like that. You know, something that's good and lovely. A good report, honest and just. You know, where we just really celebrated honesty and the truth. You think Hollywood's going to come out with a storyline like that anytime soon? It's not going to happen. There's not a chance that that could happen. It says here, granted, there is virtue in thinking on the Bible's true and honest reports of darker occurrences. I mean, we do have to watch world events, and a lot of it's not very pretty. But there's a difference between telling you, showing you what happened on October 7. I mean, that's real. That's human beings murdering and raping fellow human beings. But to go and watch the make-believe, which carries out atrocities, if you can even do it, that are worse than what's happening in real life, and then adding this demonic twist to it, it's really a sick and perverse society in every respect. And you can see a lot about our nations by just looking at the things we're fascinated with, the things we love to dwell on, the things we love to fill our minds with. Romans 1 talks about, you know, the sinners engaged in the corrupt behavior. And then those who are complicit, those who watch it, those who, like Lot's wife, are drawn to it. I mean, she was in a really good family, Lot's wife. And yet look at what the angel had to do to practically drag him out of Sodom. You would think you would just want to sprint and flee from Sodom. Instead, I mean, they had to be helped along. And even then, she looked back. Lot's wife looked back longingly. She missed dear old Sodom. Even though it was going up in flames, she longed for it. She loved it. And that's the way our human nature is. I mean, we're just naturally drawn to filth. That's the truth. There's no getting around that. And we've got to admit it. We've got to confess our sins and go in the direction of God's righteousness. Go in the direction of Philippians 4 and verse 8. And that takes some drive. That takes some initiative. That takes help from God, too. But we've got to plug in to God and His influence. Otherwise, if we just go the way that comes naturally, well, we'll find ourselves fascinated with evil. We'll find ourselves watching things that we shouldn't watch. And then these young people roaming the streets and no fear of God. The Bible tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of true education. And so many of these fatherless criminals, they don't fear God. They don't fear a father type figure. They don't fear law enforcement. And so here comes Jeroboam saying, all right, we're going to send in the National Guard. Maybe that'll strike some fear in your heart. Well, let's hope it has some positive benefit. Washington, D.C., I mean, most cities, there's not a lot to really get excited about, but all of those beautiful monuments, all of that wonderful history, you would hope people could just go to D.C. and roam the streets and see the Washington Monument, see Jefferson's Monument, see all those museums. As it is, you got to look over your shoulder. And especially so when the sun goes down. It's not going to be that way in the world tomorrow. Cities are going to be different. The whole world's going to be different. When everyone's thinking about these virtues listed in Philippians 4:8, what a difference. As the saying goes, garbage in, garbage out, right? But if we put in healthy food, mentally and spiritually, I mean, if we put in healthy spiritual food, well, think about how different just human lives will be. Philippians 4:8, Paul says, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If there's any virtue, that word for virtue, it means moral excellence. Think on excellent things. Set your mind on the things above, Colossians 3 and verse 2. Seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom's not been set up on this earth yet. I mean, it's here in embryo with the church, but that's it. God's government's in the church. God's education is in the church. But the church is a little flock. The world is feasting on Satan's education. And that's why it is the way it is. That's why when you go into a drugstore on H Street there in D.C., everything's locked up. That's why the CVS stores are shutting down, because they keep getting looted. Verse 9 says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, Paul says, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, if you think on these things and then you do them, there will be peace. The God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will help you in the incredible human potential. I don't see this on the desk here. It's by Herbert Armstrong. Beautiful book. Beautiful message. I mean, just look at the cover. Think on that. Think on your incredible human potential. Think on why God created us in the first place. That'll put a smile on your face. That'll bring peace into your heart. It says here, it's vital to understand how true Christianity really works. This is how it works. This is what it's all about. The newly converted person in his mind and heart sincerely has about-faced. He has actually gained contact with God and received God's Holy Spirit. God's own divine nature has now been conceived within him. But that's all. It's merely conceived. Not yet full grown. He's still human, mortal, flesh and blood. He's still composed of matter, not spirit. So it's a process of growing. Just like that tiny little embryo that's been impregnated by the father, the seed from the father. And then there's just rapid growth over the course of 40 weeks. This is what God's looking for in the spiritual sense with respect to spiritual salvation. Physical reproduction is a type of spiritual salvation. So 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow to become more like Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said it, become you therefore perfect. Just like the Father in heaven is perfect. Become like God. God really is reproducing himself. God really is building a family. And what a blessing it is to be able to see that plan, that purpose played out in these fleshly institutions called marriage and family. I was telling the students this morning just how much of a blessing it is to be on a campus. This beautiful, you see it behind me, to be on this beautiful campus, but, you know, the buildings and the grounds are beautiful, but it's the family living that really brings life and peace to this campus environment. It's the marriages, the families, the children. And this is what these young people, these college students are preparing for. How to live in the world. I mean, they talk about in the worldly universities, I should say. They teach you about the machine, how to make the machine, how to make money off of making the machine. But what about making a good human being? Well, that's why we have the good book, the guidebook for living, the instruction manual that is the Holy Bible. And happy for us, we've got lots of other tools as well that help us to understand the Bible. You saw Incredible Human Potential just now. What about Mystery of the Ages? The most important book since the Bible. And you can have it in your library. And at no cost or obligation. You can't put a price on this. I was saying in class yesterday, I mean, how different would that 1985 video where Mr. Armstrong was nearly brought to tears handing out Mystery of the Ages to the sophomores at Ambassador College. How different would that have played out had he said, you know, this is a pretty big day in my life when I can hand Mystery of the Ages out to you. That'll be $25. He didn't say that. He gave away 1.25 million copies of this book for free. Over a million copies. You can't put a price on the truth of God. If it's revelation from God, I mean, how much do you charge for it? It would be billions and billions and billions of dollars, surely, if it was fair, I mean. God's revelation? The pearl of great price? Freely you have received, so go out and freely give. If God's given you precious truth and knowledge, then the proper response for a servant of God is to go and give it to the next guy. Pay it forward, as they say. Give. That's the principle of God's law. You see, what you see on the streets of D.C. is the spirit of get. And it's becoming more and more violent with each passing day. It says, for nearly 6,000 years, humanity has been going the way of pride and vanity, selfishness and greed, lack of outgoing concern for others, the spirit of competition, opposition, strife, effort to acquire and to exalt the self. I mean, this was last updated when? 1977 or 78? It's just as applicable today, more so today, than it was in the 1970s. Look at this world. And that's a perfect description of our world today, what I just read to you. Humans have been filled with self-gratification, jealousy, envy, resentment toward others, a spirit of rebellion against authority and hostility toward God and the law of God. There's no fear of God. That commentator had it right at the stop, or at the start, the cold open. It says, the Christian must overcome these tendencies. Yes, indeed. I mean, that's, we're on a mission. We're on a quest to overcome and to conquer those carnal impulses, those pulls of the flesh, to put away the sins of the flesh, and to set our mind on lovely, good, and peaceful things. That's where it starts, in the human heart. Mr. Armstrong says, the Christian must develop the righteous character to choose the right way and resist the wrong, to discipline the self in the way that he ought to go instead of the way of self-desire and vanity. This is the way of a true Christian. in my orientation lecture the other day at the start of this semester, I talked about some of the founders and just how driven they were to improve themselves, to overcome weaknesses. And some of those weaknesses were glaring. These were not perfect men, but they were a lot more aware of their human nature than we are today. Can you imagine a horror movie? Can you imagine John and Abigail Adams and little John Quincy when he was 9 or 10 years old, heading off to showbiz theater to watch the latest horror movie about sinners? Can you imagine? We're a much different world today. And even though the machines have developed, the human heart is getting worse. The evils are getting worse. And we're deceived by the development of the machines. All the gadgets, all the technology, as I was saying to the students this morning, I mean, they can put the Library of Congress in their back pocket with a smartphone. And yet look at what people use smartphones for. Look at how much filth just comes into the average mind because of smartphones and devices and movies and music. Again, you heard it in the cold open. Writing about the founders, Jeffrey Rosen, in his book, The Pursuit of Happiness, he said, "Today we think of happiness as the pursuit of pleasure. But classical and Enlightenment thinkers defined happiness as the pursuit of virtue, as being good rather than feeling good. For this reason, the founders believed that the quest for happiness is a daily practice requiring mental and spiritual self-discipline as well as mindfulness and rigorous time management. At its core, the founders viewed the pursuit of happiness as a lifelong quest for character improvement." These were individuals that, I mean, they weren't even called into God's true church. John 6:44, God has to make the call. And only a few have answered it. It's a little flock. Jesus acknowledged that the true church is just a little flock. But there's a purpose being worked out here below. Everyone has an incredible human potential. And when God's kingdom is set up and established on this earth, everything's going to change. Suddenly there's going to be Armstrong colleges all over the earth. And it's not going to be me, you know, teaching 18 students. It's going to be all of God's people out and about teaching hundreds and hundreds of students the way of God, the way of righteousness, teaching them about virtues, about what to even think on. 1 Peter 2:9 says about God's church, God's people, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." If you've got a King James Version, you can look into the margin there and see that the word it has for praises is virtues. It's the same Greek word as the one Paul used in Philippians 4:8. Show forth the virtues of God. Show forth the virtues of Him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light of God's truth, of God's way. Then you go over to the Gospels, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men. Show this world God's righteousness, God's way of life." It needs it now more than ever, because there's just so much violence, so much corruption, so much evil. Just like Mr. Armstrong described, the spirit of competition, opposition, strife, selfishness, self-gratification. Look at these emails that Tulsi Gabbard released yesterday. Between all of the top guys in the Dear Leaders intelligence community, you had the DNI, I mean, you've got the CIA, you've got the FBI, all of them. And Mike Rogers, He was over the NSA. They're basically, their expertise is gathering intel from these, you know, communications with, you know, foreign nations. And he said, you know, I don't really see it. This intel report we're producing on Russian interference and, you know, how that the Russians evidently wanted to help Clinton and hurt, or rather help Trump and hurt Clinton. I'm not seeing it. And James Clapper, for his part, he says, hey, Mike, you got to get on board with this. The dear leader wants this. We've got to produce this before Donald Trump shows up. We need this to keep all this other illegal activity going. He sent an email again expressing skepticism over the Russian hack of the DNC and then just the fact that the Russians were meddling at all in the election. And then this is Jim Clapper's response. I understand your concern. It's essential that we, CIA, NSA, FBI, ODNI, it's essential that we be on the same page and are all supportive of the report. We just got to be on the same page, Mike. We just got to support this. Obama wants it. Obama ordered it. In the highest tradition of that's our story and we're sticking to it, it says, this evening, CIA has provided to the NIC the complete draft generated by the ad hoc fusion cell. We will facilitate as much mutual transparency as possible as we complete the report, but more time is not negotiable. This is Jim Clapper. We may have to compromise on our normal modalities. Look, we've only got four or five weeks to work with here. We might have to lower our normal standards because we got to get Trump. That's what he's saying. Since we must do this on such a compressed schedule. And then finally, he says, this is one project that has to be a team sport. You listening, Mike? No time for skepticism here. We need team players. This is a team sport. We're all in this to get Trump. We're all in this to protect Hillary. And they did. And they got away with it for 10 years. And now the truth is finally seeing the light of day. Listen to this from Hannity last night, clip one.
And now we have more breaking news on the origins of the Russian hoax. Fox News Digital revealing an email tonight from the former director of national intelligence. That's James Clapper. He is discussing the report on Russian interference in the 2016 election. The intel community was preparing for President Obama. And he writes, quote, we may have to compromise on our normal modalities since we must do this on such a compressed schedule. So in other words, they're willing to break all their rules just to create the Russian hoax, even though the original assessment said, no, there was no Trump-Russia collusion.
There you go. Sorry, I was just looking at a note here. Yeah, they broke the rules. They broke their own rules just so that they could get Trump. And this is all happening, going back to 2016, that transition. We've gone through the details of it before. But this is all happening even as they're also trying to protect the DNC and protect Hillary Clinton for the email server scandal. Listen to clip two.
We now have a timeline that the FBI has had for more than 8 years showing repeated political interference in career FBI agents' efforts to investigate corruption, pay-to-play allegations against the Clinton Foundation. This timeline confirms that three separate FBI offices had opened investigations. One was a fully predicated criminal investigation. Two were preliminaries to determine if a full criminal should begin. In all circumstances, beginning in the summer of 15, as the 2016 election with Hillary Clinton was ramping up through the end of the first year of the Trump presidency, senior Justice Department officials repeatedly thwarted the FBI from investigating. When Donald Trump was chanting, lock her up on Hillary Clinton, Sally Yates was chanting back to the FBI, shut it down. She gave them an explicit instruction for the FBI to stop investigating Hillary Clinton.
John, wait a minute.
Shut it down. Stop the investigation on Hillary. And create a fake scandal on Trump. I mean, how do you, like I said, with respect to crime in D.C., step back, look at the bigger picture and think, how does this get solved? How are we going to be healed from this? This level of corruption, this many levels of corruption in D.C., the swamp, as my wife was saying yesterday, or the day before. I mean, look at the violence in D.C. And I mean, it's a perfect fit. It's happening in the swamp. And so you've got all these crooks, these criminals in nice suits going in and out of the Capitol or wherever in the swamp. And then you've got all of these thugs in and out of CVS and drugstores in D.C. looting the place. In some cases, not even looting, not even stealing. Just, you know, want to go in and destroy. We got to leave them some space to destroy. I mean, that's been the thinking. Like I said Tuesday, if you've got a police force of 3,500 people, I mean, D.C. should be the safest city in the country. Instead, they're giving stand down orders. And it takes someone like Donald Trump to just come in and say, you know what, we're going to fight crime. And then those that hate Trump say, no, you can't fight crime. You've got to let the crime continue. They're actually taking that position, of all things. Listen to a bit more about Andy McCabe in this case, clip 3.
And then Andrew McCabe, the deputy FBI director, somebody who had a relationship with Terry McAuliffe because McAuliffe helped fund Andy McCabe's wife's campaign. He eventually gets conflicted out of Hillary Clinton's cases. He tells the FBI agents, you do nothing unless you come through me. That slows it down. Then the FBI agents, believing they have a real criminal case of pay-to-play corruption, public integrity corruption, they go to the U.S. Attorney's offices in Manhattan, in Brooklyn, in the Washington, D.C. area, in the Little Rock, and the prosecutors tell them in 3 of those 4 locations, you might want to proceed, but we will provide you no prosecutive help.
That's John Solomon, of course, on with Hannity last night. Miranda Devine, I mean, she went through the emails, had a column this morning. She says it's hard to believe that the Russiagate plotters are so stupid, but the declassified documents tumbling out of the DNI Tulsi Gabbard's files show that while they had a lot of power and managed to hide their nefarious activities for almost a decade, President Barack Obama's henchmen were none too bright. They left a long paper trail. Yeah, I'm not so sure about this new intelligence assessment. Well, hey, Mike, listen, we're on a short time frame. We got to be team players. You understand what I mean? You understand what I'm getting at? We're going to lower our standards. We're going to break our own rules. But that's okay. We've got to get this assessment done for the dear leader. I mean, the results of the assessment have already been leaked to the papers. Mike, listen, we've already reached our conclusion. This was going on inside of America's government. This was inside of Antiochus's administration. And this is some kind of treasonous filth. So much filth. A horror flick is what it amounts to. A horror movie playing out in real time, in real life. All of these horrific atrocities, all of these unbelievable acts of insurrection, a rolling coup for years and years and years happening in the swamp. Listen to more. This is one last one from Hannity, clip 4.
Nothing they could do could punch through so that they could find out the truth about Hillary Clinton and corruption. This is political obstruction. It may be criminal obstruction. And tonight I have confirmed that some of the prosecutors who were pressured not to look at this case are beginning to cooperate with the Justice Department. Kash Patel, the FBI director, found this document, just like he found the Adam Schiff document earlier this week, and the one we talked about last night in Comey, FBI unearthing some of the most deeply held secrets of the FBI, and now prosecutors and whistleblowers coming out of the woodwork to cooperate, that gives some momentum to what the Justice Department wants to do, which is see if any of this rises to the level of criminality.
In Devine's column, she says, as Gabbard said when she released the emails on Wednesday, Clapper's own words confirm that complying with the order to manufacture intelligence was a team sport. You see, Obama insisted on unity. You were on board with Obama, or Obama came after you. This is the kind of unity that the Republican Party would never have. There's always going to be some dissent. There's always going to be those who criticize Trump. And not that we're recommending that you just blindly go along by any means. I mean, we're here representing God's truth. And there's unity in God's church and family for sure. But I mean, when Satan intimidates you into compliance, I mean, you either do it Antiochus's way in this case, or you're made a target. There was no reason for the ICA to be completed under such a compressed schedule. Less than a month from the Oval Office meeting on December 9, 2016, when Obama ordered Clapper, Brennan, Comey, and others to prepare a new intelligence assessment to replace all the inconvenient others before the election that had found that Russia wanted to sow discord but was not partial to one candidate over the other. That's what the intel community knew and reported for months leading up to that December meeting when Obama said, hey, we're going to pivot. We're going to come up with a new assessment saying just the opposite. And you're all on board. And Clapper, following on, said, hey, this is a team sport, Mike. I mean, they've been caught, as President Trump always says. They have been caught red-handed. And they should be prosecuted. Obama wanted the cooked ICA to be released before Trump's transition on January 20th, 2017. Sam talked yesterday about Schiff, Adam Schiff. I've seen the evidence. He played the montage for you that we created a couple years ago. And that others picked it up and played it as well. Other outlets, I mean. Schiff, they're saying, I've seen the evidence. Donald Trump is guilty. He's a Russian agent. He's a treasonous agent. And Schiff, I mean, for his part, he goes from the House to then becoming a senator. That's just the way it's been these past 10 years. If you protect Hillary, if you protect the dear leader, and if you go and get Trump, then chances are you're going to be promoted. Certainly if you're from a blue state. That's the level of corruption and filth. It's all around us in every form. Listen to Dinesh D'Souza. He's been on this program before, and we're going to be taking a trip with him to the Middle East next year on a joint project that we've got planned. He said this yesterday on his, I think it's his podcast, clip six.
The Democratic staffer who goes to the FBI and says what? Well, says that Adam Schiff, while on the Intelligence Committee, was knowingly leaking classified information to the media. His motive, very simple, to get Trump. The staffers were aware that they were leaking the classified information. One staffer, and it could very well be this whistleblower, raised the problem. You can't do this. This is not allowed. This is not only illegal, it borders on treason. And apparently the other staffers told him, don't worry, we're not going to get caught. Don't worry, we're not going to get busted. Now, one reason, by the way, that staffers can give this kind of assurance is they know that nobody is going to out them. The media that receives the leaks wants to keep getting them. They also are ideologically in league with Adam Schiff and the Intelligence Committee. And so they are, in a way, colluding with the Intelligence Committee to get these leaks out. The leaks only have power, after all, if they can be transmitted widely through the media. The media is playing a very knowing role in this whole escapade.
Oh, yes. The media provide cover for the deep state. And so you see, whether it was the Schiff advisors or Jim Clapper in that email, the spirit of, hey, we're not going to get caught. So just go along with it. Just be a team player. And as D'Souza brings out in the next clip, I mean, he's basically saying this is why these people need to be prosecuted. Because they have gotten away with crime for so long, they feel like they're above the law. And you've got to send a message. You've got to restore any kind of law and order. It's just like Donald Trump with the National Guard coming into D.C. You've got to send in the police. You've got to send in the good cops, and they've got to clean house. Or else the violence, the vandalism, the looting, the stealing, the thievery, the cheating, the lying, it'll just continue, right? Play clip 7.
So here you see that absolutely ugly and sordid, not ugly and sordid Adam Schiff, you may have thought I was going to go there, but I meant this ugly and sordid combination of motives. Personal aggrandizement, ideological viciousness, a no holds barred, willing to break the law, this smug confidence that I can do it because no one's ever going to come after me. Who's going to come after me? Democrats always get away with this kind of stuff. This is the world in which this character Adam Schiff inhabits. And this is really one reason why it is not only ideal, it's not only preferable, it is an utter necessity that the DOJ, within the limits of the statute of limitations, brings charges against these people.
My Father in America Under Attack, this book here, if you don't have it, I mean, it was a great read, a great study in the lead up to the miracle of Donald Trump's return last year, but it's still relevant, it's still important. It's packed full of prophecies and details. He says in this book, having such a man at the helm in America, speaking of the dear leader, Barack Obama, has produced bitter affliction. The scandalous acts he and his administration perpetrated are too voluminous to count. Here, though, is a short list. And so I forget which page this is on exactly, but a long list. And it's not even complete. Of all that Obama has gotten away with. And like D'Souza says there, I mean, you've got to bring in the National Guard, so to speak. Refusing to disclose foreign donors to his campaign, suddenly reversing his stance on homosexual marriage. This is all the bitter affliction. Refusing to enforce or actively trying to stop duly enacted laws on marriage and immigration. Doubling the deficit, nearly doubling the national debt, eroding average Americans' wealth, massively expanding food stamps and welfare, funneling millions in government contracts to cronies, the Department of Justice organizing racial protests, pushing sexual perversion, spying on journalists, White House staff involved in a prostitution scandal in Colombia. What? Yeah. Yeah, of course. Interfering in the FBI probe into Hillary Clinton's emails, the Veteran Affairs scandal and cover-up, praising the Chinese communist system. I mean, and then, of course, you've got the Biden crime family just lining its pockets. Denying 77% of the Freedom of Information Act requests. So much for transparency. Spending $36 million in lawsuits to keep information secret. Massive land seizures. Spying on former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, he's an enemy, so yeah, use the NSA on him. This is the way Obama operated. And he continued to have an incredible amount of power all through Donald Trump's first term because of the ICA and other fake narratives, hoaxes, and because of people like Clapper and Schiff and Rogers, too, for just going along, and Brennan. You know the suspects. They've been exposed. They got caught. And now we'll see if the National Guard shows up, so to speak. We'll see if the authorities show up and restore order and restore peace and restore, you know, a lawful spirit in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.